Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive is live.
That's right. The Drive is live. And fellas, it's a big day. We'll hear from Cecil Shorts at the bottom of this hour. I'm really concerned about Cecil. Cecil was he was in a rough place last week. And I don't think it's going to get any better after that performance.
After texting with him last night, yeah. I am with you.
He said his boat of belief is getting smaller last Ooh. Week. Well, he may not be in it anymore. And then we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans as he will speak to the media, not us, but he'll speak to the media. We'll hear from him coming up.
What time does that go down?
Anywhere between 2:30 and 3. Right?
Stay plugged in. Hour 1, baby.
So you take the drive.
Got to hang in there. And and also C.J. Stroud. We'll hear from him as this is the day we hear from those two. And really, Clint, the D'Amico one's a big one because this will be the first time that we really hear from any of the brass since the C.J. Gardner-Johnson shocking release happened. So this will be the first time we hear from them. And based off the reports that we heard from sources in the Texans to DJ Bieniemy and Aaron Wilson and other reporters, be really interesting to hear how D'Amico handles that. And I'm sure CJ will get asked about that too.
Be interesting to see how both of them handle it. No question about it. I do think this is a little different one. As you mentioned yesterday, and we talked about at length the last hour of the show, was the reports that seemed to be coming from a credible source inside the building over there about the CJ Gardner-Johnson miscues on the defensive side of the football that ultimately got him ran up out of here. And look, there's some validity to those. I've had time to go back and look at every one of them. I don't know what they're taught. I don't know what the coverages were or were not supposed to be. But you can look at what's being said, and that definitely is an option in each one of those plays to where C.J. Gardner-Johnson could have been targeted or at least the reason why the Texans were hit with three different touchdowns. And so it will be interesting to see what D'Amico has to say. Again, I don't know that just – sticking your head in the sand is going to be the route they're going to take on this one. I know that typically is, but you know, this is the caliber player where all the problems that we're hearing he had, he still started and played 93% of the snaps last week. And so I'm anxious to hear what D'Amico has to say about, as well as CJ. I'm anxious to hear what CJ has to say as well.
Yeah. Definitely. How do you think they're going to handle it? Did they go head in the sand?
I think they go head in the sand.
I think they go vague.
I think they go head in the sand. I think they go fit. I think fit just wasn't a real good fit, and we had to go separate ways, and we wish him the best. I think that's how we go here.
Yeah, that's what I expected to hear until we saw those nuggets drop yesterday. But you'll get to hear from them coming up. By the way, Reggie talked about it a bit there, Clint. From a practice perspective and addition perspective to the roster with the release of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, they bring in Zion Childress off the Cowboys practice squad. He had been called up twice in games this year with the Cowboys. He's already out there working at nickel. I've seen a video of him working with Jalen Petrie in that position of nickel. So he potentially will be an option that they can go with on this team. Don't know a lot about him. I know he is a local product from New Caney, but he'll be on the roster since they signed him from the practice squad. He is on the roster.
Got to be on the roster.
And potentially you would think when you look at the numbers, he may play coming up on Sunday when you look at the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got to at least have emergency corner. I mean, Tremont Smith and Kamari Lassiter can't do it all for four quarters, not play every snap, and so he's going to get some run somewhere. And whether it's nickel or outside corner, I would imagine if he's working at nickel, being a new player, that's where they're going to depend on him. I do wonder who that outside corner is going to be. We'll find out come game time when they decide who's active and who's not. They do have a couple of options there, but we'll see.
And that becomes even bigger because Derek Stingley with the oblique, he attempted to come back into the game on Sunday, but he missed basically the second half and a little bit of that second quarter. He did not practice today. In terms of the time when the media was there to see. And neither did Titus Howard, their best offensive lineman. He did not practice. When the injury report comes out today, and probably we'll hear that hopefully from D'Amico too as well, but when that comes out, we'll get a more understanding of the issue with Titus Howard and why he didn't practice today. But those are obviously two major pieces that the Texans really need to have in this game coming up on Sunday and the rest of the way. Two of their better players not practicing today. So that's one to keep an eye on. So a lot to get to with the Texans. Is it over, fellas, with the Astros?
Damn close.
Is it over? They lost 5-1 last night, and then Cleveland beat Detroit. So now Cleveland, they're actually one up in the AL Central, and now the Astros are chasing the Tigers in the wild card. They are one up on the Astros, but they did, and we had some confliction yesterday, but we have an understanding. They did win the season series over the Astros. In fact, the Red Sox, who are in front of them in the wild card, the Guardians, and the Tigers, Yankees have already clinched their wild cards, but they all have tiebreakers over the Astros. So they lose last night 5-1. They managed three singles last night, dealing with another major injury. Jeremy Pena has missed again. We'll see if he's able to go. He has an oblique issue as well. But, hey, man, it feels like they got to go 5-0 in this piece. And
they need to go 5-0, boys. And I'm going to be honest with you. I quit on them last night.
It's over for you?
Well, it was over last night.
That was it.
I'm not saying I can't get back on. I'm fair weather. I can get back on the bandwagon. But I'll be honest with you. I don't know if y'all were watching how they scored their first run. It was some real, and I know Oakland's not playing in Oakland, but it was some real Oakland A-type stuff. I mean, it was some real, I know the commentators, they tried, oh, man, you're playing in this minor league park, and the ball gets above the lights, and you lose it, and Christian Javier shouldn't even be in the mix, and Christian Walker, but he must have lost it in the lights. And, man, get the hell out of here.
Say goodnight to the Astros.
I mean, you got two outs, base runners rounding the damn bags, and you don't field a pop-up that was up. Like, three dudes was camped out underneath it damn near. And that's how you give. I quit right there. I turned that song buck
right
there.
It does.
I went to my DVR immediately.
What'd you
turn to? Stupid, man. Interrogation.
Okay. Oh, is that good?
Yeah, pretty good. If you get a good case, it requires a good case. You get one of some old, I think one of them last night was in Little Rock, and it was some old backwards folks, and it was hard to pay much mind to. But it's better than watching that game.
He went over. Yeah, it was late. Nah, they look like they're let go of the rope. It does. And pals, the injuries have caught up to them. Yeah, the Pena one, that's another terrible timed injury. Listen, it feels like it's over. They got to win tonight. Like, tonight is Hunter Brown, right? That they got to win the Hunter Brown stars. Right? They got to win this one and give themselves a chance. Now, for them, I feel like the Tigers are the team they got to hope to get. And they play the Guardians. The Tigers have lost 7 in a row. The Guardians have won 10 in a row. And then they play the Red Sox after that. So, you know, maybe if you win your 5, right? It feels like you got to win 5. You win your 5. By the way, the Mariners, they clinched a playoff spot. They're, I think, one more win away before they clinch the West. You, but you got to win all 5 of yours, and then hope the Tigers, because remember, well, in anybody, you cannot finish tied with or you lose.
Well, the saving grace that we have as I look at the standings is the fact that you just mentioned it. Detroit is playing Cleveland, then Detroit turns around and plays Boston, and those are all three of the teams that are ahead of you. So somebody's got to lose. They can't win them all. Somebody's got to lose. So there's got. I mean, I don't know if it's 100% sure, but to a certain extent, you still got to be able to control your own destiny if you win out. I mean, because somebody has to lose those games, and so that's the only saving grace right now, because it ain't the way these Astros are playing.
Next line coming in. I did the same thing, Clint. As soon as that pop-up hit the ground, I picked up the remote and changed the channel.
Immediately. I already had it in my hand. Golly, man. Sit my ass up that late at night to watch him Strohs, and they do that in the first inning. Yeah, I've looked up, and Javier had 23. He was 23 pitches in the first damn inning. I said, what? Come on, man.
It's the A's, man.
Yeah. It's the A's, man. I feel like they're ready to shut this thing down. Got five to go, boy.
It looks like the Astros are ready to shut this thing down.
Man, and these things are getting, it's 5-1, 7-1, 6-0. I mean, they are getting where it's just not even games left. All right, D'Amico Ryans, who you'll hear from a little bit later on, he did his coach's show earlier this week and talked about validating what's being coached. Talked about the things that they're talking about that the players, which sounds like they need to do more of on the field on Sundays.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I do not, because I know the process.
Right, right,
I know what we're teaching. I know what works. It hasn't it hasn't changed.
Right.
It's just a matter of everybody just making sure we're doing, first and foremost, what we're coached to do.
Right.
Right. If we start there, let's do what we're coached to do, know what we're coaching, we know our process and how we structure the week, how we practice. I know it works.
Yep.
Now, when it gets to game day, are we executing and doing the things that we need to do that's winning football?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you play winning football on Sunday, that's what it's going to take. You got to play winning football on Sunday.
All right. We've heard that a lot. If we coach do things the way we're coached, I've heard that a lot. The penalties is coming from techniques and things like that. I know you feel like maybe there should be an adjustment with those thoughts and those comments.
Yeah, look, I think this is the one thing that D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, Nick Cayley, everybody, they got to stop with this stuff. They got to stop with this. Our process works. Process this. Process that.
And they now, say no.
I can hear that from D'Amico Ryans if he's talking about the defensive side of the football. Clearly, your process on the offensive side of the football is not working. Clearly, the process was flawed last year to the point of where you slid one of your good buddies up out of here that had helped you win 10 games and get to the second round of the playoffs 2 years in a row. Clearly, that process is not working. I cringe when Nick Cayley gets up there and talks about, I know my process. I know our process. All we got to do is keep doing what. No, this thing is significantly better than just a process. I understand. I really could lean into the process stuff when you were rebuilding a team, when you were figuring out how to construct the roster, and you didn't have all the final pieces, and there was a process there. You're cleaning up all the cancers out of the organization. You're getting the right guys. You're setting the right standards. I get all that. All that stuff is set. This is not about processes anymore, right? I mean, the whole show up and do your job thing. The whole. We know our process. Just commit to our process.
Just execute.
Like we've got to get beyond that, Ron. I just when I hear it, I'm just like, again, I think it's got some validity if you're looking at the defensive side of the football and D'Amico's talking. Like, hey man, we know what we got here. We got this thing figured out. We got all. We may get beat. We may give up some rush yards. We may get hit with some shots, but we're gonna figure it out and we're gonna massage this thing and we're gonna be all right. That ain't the case with the team, man.
I was going to say, why do you feel that is different?
That's just not the case with the team. It's not the case with the offense. The offense is not about whatever your process is, it stinks. Whatever your process is, it stinks. Whatever mechanics and technique you're trying to coach that you're saying these guys can't execute, man, these are pros, man. You're two and a half months into this thing. Like, what the hell you been doing? This ain't the time to talk about mechanics and techniques. This ain't the time to talk about processes. This is the time to see results. And right now, there is nothing about this offense that you look at and you go, yeah, man, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so sticking to what you've been doing and this terminology that they constantly use and regurgitate and just kill you with is, I mean, it's getting hard to listen to.
Yeah. No, it's just, it seems very similar to the execute from last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of thought what they said, maybe some of the strengths of Nick Caley and company is putting players in the position in which they can be successful. Not just what it is that our system is, but what they can do to be successful, right? And we have heard a lot, maybe not execute this year, but we've heard a lot to just coach to do the things that, the way they're being.
Yeah, instead of execute, you've defined execute. Do what you're coached to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a... There's several changes that that hopefully we see them make, including, I do love this, as we'll do a little tape drop Tuesdays and look at things, but we do attempt to look at positives, or at least look at maybe not positives, but, you know, solutions to things. And here are some solutions going into this game against the Titans. After watching the tape, looking at things, these are some solutions that can help this team get to closer to where they want to get to. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Big show today on The Drive. We'll hear from Cecil Shorts. The third coming up a little bit later on in this hour. We'll hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, and the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Stay tuned. The first comments from the Texans, officially, and not just sources, but from the Texans. We'll hear that coming up a little bit later on since the release of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. All right, Clint, as I said, man, we do like to give solutions and not just this is what's wrong, this is what's wrong, this is what's wrong, this is what's wrong. We do like to give solutions. And I think this is a good part to start with D'Amico, as he spoke about this on the coach's show and really, I think, really starting to lean on the quarterback and the things that maybe he's most comfortable with. Here is D'Amico talking about C.J. Stroud and maybe pushing things towards things he likes.
Any quarterback that plays, they're always going to have their favorites. You go through the game plan throughout the week, they're going to have their favorite plays that they like. So, you know, and when you're calling it, you just want to make sure you're starring those plays and you kind of get those plays called as early as possible when those guys want it. Because as us all, when it's something you like, you're going to probably perform it a little bit better. But as we see with the tempo and certain plays, like CJ really does a good job, the 2-minute, the tempo, that's where he operates really fast, decisive, making really, really nice plays. So we have to kind of lean into that more to put him in positions where he's playing quick, playing decisive.
Clint, maybe this is the route, right, of just him getting comfortable, him being comfortable with everything that's going on, because he doesn't look comfortable, and maybe that just helps the overall offense.
Look, you scored 3 touchdowns in 3 games, one of which the defense gave to you. You've been in the red zone 4 times and you hadn't scored once. Clearly, offensively, it's time to adjust what it is that you're doing. And you've got a quarterback that you've seen play at a much higher level than what he's playing right now. So it's all hands on deck, pull out all stops to figure out how to get C.J. Stroud going. I mean, you're going to end up with a top 10 draft pick if you don't get C.J. Stroud going. And so the question is, you know, what should this offense, given everything we know, what should this offense look like? You know, there's only so much you can do schematically, Ron, when you've spent, you know, I don't know how long Nick Caley's been here, 4 months, 5 months, I don't know exactly how long he's been here, but whatever it is, you've spent that amount of time installing an offense. So you can't change terminology. You can't, at least overnight, flip over all the concepts that you're running. But you can take pieces of every single offense that are just football 101, and you can present what you're doing in a different manner. And the question of what the Texans' offense should look like moving forward, I think, is a very, very valid question. And I thought that before I heard D'Amico Ryans talk about it, but hearing D'Amico Ryans talk about it makes me believe that it's very possible, right? You got one of two options if you're this Texans offense. You stick to your guns, process over results, and try to get this Patriots 2005 thing that you've been watching film on going, right? Or you look at what your quarterback does well, has done well for 3 years. You look at what he did well as recent this last game. You spread them out. You stop with all the condensed formations, shrinking the formations down, lining all the receivers up inside, which I've told you, Ron, ever since I've known you, all that does is muddy the waters for a young quarterback. If you got a veteran quarterback that can decipher all that, great. If you've got an offensive coordinator that's doing it for a reason, keep on keeping on. The reality of it is right now in Houston is you are there's no rhyme or reason why you're doing it. Your wide receivers aren't good at digging out safeties and digging out linebackers in the run game. And your quarterback and your offensive line have trouble communicating. So the muddying up the waters by inviting everybody to be inside the damn hashes is silly business at this point. So I agree with D'Amico. I think spreading them out, I think using tempo, and doing what you know C.J. Stroud does well is the quickest way to winning some ball games here for Houston.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. And maybe you don't even really know what are the things that CJ does well? I'm not saying we've never seen CJ do well. If you were looking at this and you say, all right, let's drop this down to the basics. What CJ, let's get him in his comfort zone. What are those things?
I think CJ processes at a high level when he's in his comfort zone. When the receivers, simply put, I cannot overstate this. It is simple, stupid, but it's real. Take it to the bank. Spreading the wide receivers out to where the corners are way outside. Whoever's going to cover the slots have to expand a little bit. Now CJ can read and see the different voids in the coverage. Now the defense can't hide, disguise their pressures the way that they were, right? Everybody's not condensed around the football, literally in the box. So I think when you do that, I think he processes at a high level when he's looking at that. I think he anticipates on a lot of his throws. I think he's a very good passer of the football, particularly in the accuracy and anticipation standpoint. But when he's constantly trying to figure out who's blitzing and who's not blitzing, and there's muddy waters, everybody's bunched up inside, I don't think he ever gets comfortable and sees it clear or is able to anticipate and have confidence in delivering the football. So that would be my – because here's the deal. CJ clearly processes faster when the formation is spread out, when it's not shrunk, right? He clearly likes tempo, spread, wide open, and an attack style of offense. Not sitting back and trying to figure out how to pass protect perfectly, right? That's not it, right? And the O-line, as it pertains to pass protection, spreading out the defense is going to make it simpler for the O-line as well. Mina Kimes, after I believe it was the Rams game, asked, how can 13 or 14, whatever, different players for the Rams pressure the quarterback? Well, when you bring them all in like that, both corners can fire and be a pressure player.
It doesn't take them a long time to get there.
The safeties are playing low because you lack speed. They can be pressure players. The backers are coming in the A-gap all the damn time, and you've got a rotation of ends and interior defensive line that can pressure. So you got to spread them out. Spreading out defenses will solve a big part of your quarterback's problems as well as a big part of your offensive line issues immediately. You don't have to change terminology. You don't have to install a bunch of new stuff. It's already in the system. We saw it last week in late in that game. You just got to do more of it. So I think this offense has to look different. I will be – if this offense doesn't look different this week, Ron, they are absolutely to a fault going to stick to this process over results things and see if Nick Caley can get this 2005 New England Patriots stuff going.
When you start talking about this, I'm thinking, should they incorporate the things that he did as a rookie, his rookie year, some of the things that he was in, we've seen him at his best. The things that he was most, as you say, to get into his comfort zone. Because that's the best CJ
I think you incorporate any and everything that you could possibly find. I can't believe it's not already happening. But I just know that I can tell from a distance that simply expanding the formation and playing with tempo more often. And that doesn't mean you have to go high speed, right? Just get on the line of scrimmage and let him do his thing, right? Get on the line of scrimmage, spread him out to where he can tell who's coming and who's not coming, and let him do his thing. That if you're going to win football games, that's what you got to do. If not, it's going to be a long season, and you hope that this offense eventually takes at some point.
All right, let's jump on with our guy, former Houston Texan. You've heard him a lot here, and if you are at the games at NRG, you see him as a game day host often. Cecil Shorts III. He'll join us. We'll get his thoughts coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Stay tuned with us. Hopefully after we get done catching up with Cecil, you will hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, and that is obviously important. It'll be the first time we've heard from anybody since the surprising move with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But we are joined by our guy, Cecil Shorts III, who is with us. He joins us each and every Wednesday this time. Remember, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's just start there, Cecil. What was your reaction when you saw the news hit and you learned of the news yesterday that a guy they went and got in the offseason, you could argue was their biggest offseason addition, they released C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Hey, it was good to talk to y'all, first and foremost. But I was shocked yesterday. Didn't see it coming. And just being honest, when I watch film, it's hard to tell sometimes what coverage they're in. So I wouldn't have known just off the eye that it was a blown coverage on certain things, right? I could see the obvious that might have been missed assignment or bad eyes by certain people, but I didn't know about all the missed coverages. But I was just generally just shocked, like, okay, you signed him in the offseason. You expect him to have to bring some type of leadership, some type of help as far as getting over the hump and making a deep playoff run. And he's been there, done that, been to multiple Super Bowls. So why all of a sudden did he, you know, get cut like this? You gave him some money, you reconstructed his contract, the whole nine. Then all of a sudden this pops up. So in my eyes, it's like, all right, I was shocked. Then I started thinking about it, started reading around Twitter world, all this stuff. And there comes a time, and for everybody that kind of behaves in this way, where when your distractions outweigh your talent, you're disposable, right? And I've been on a lot of bad football teams. I'm sad to say it, but I've been on a lot of teams that struggled in the NFL. And when you are losing, you have to not necessarily point the blame at somebody, but get rid of people that aren't buying in. And you have to make sure you're trying to keep the corral together as best as possible. So after looking at everything, initially I was surprised, but after looking at everything, I think it's the right move and it makes sense.
What about the football side of this? Obviously, I mean, he played 93% of the snaps last week. I mean, clearly this is a guy that was brought in with that Super Bowl pedigree, with that pelt on the wall that was going to help take this team, at least from a leadership perspective, to the next level. Well, just now you lose that leader and all that, yada, 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 but you're also losing a pretty damn good player that was chewing up a huge chunk of snaps. From a on-field football perspective, what do you think this does for him?
Well, let's say this. Number one, I'm worried about depth. I have no idea the depth of the secondary. If it's, and I think even with him, the depth of the secondary was kind of thin behind those guys, right? Number two, you mentioned how much of the snaps he played, 93%, 94%, whatever it was. He had some key mistakes and some key moments, but he still was a darn good player and he still played at a high level, right? I think where what they're going to have to figure out is who's going to replace him. Is it going to be Jimmy Ward? Is it going to be one of the rookies, right? Is it going to be somebody else you have to bring in? They had to have a plan in place because he was supposed to be used at a very – he was used at a very high level, regardless if you think his production was there or not. So it's going to be interesting to see the depth. It's going to be interesting who they bring in. Is Jimmy ready to play right away? I'm not even sure if Jimmy's situation is fully done by the NFL. I think I took off a list, but I'm not sure how that works. But it's going to be interesting to see because you're right. He played a lot of snaps, and now somebody has to replace where he was at.
Cecil Shorts the third with us, by the way. He has to at least miss another week. And it was reports today that they feel like Jimmy should be on the practice field in over the next few weeks. So we'll see how long he actually is out. But, Cecil, let's go to the game from Sunday against Jacksonville. Another game on the scoreboard that they were in, that they were close to, and they were driving with the attempt to tie the ball game, but still another struggle offensively. What did you see from this offensive group against Jacksonville this week?
Didn't see much. I did see some things where I thought CJ missed about 3 or 4 foot throws, right? And I'm to the point where I'm holding CJ's feet to the fire. Like, if you're supposed to be this guy, this is year three. You got the diaper off, right? We got to put the pull-up on. Take the pull-up off. Push your big boy draws on. Right. Because I'm tired of the excuses that the offensive line ain't doing this. The play caller ain't doing that. Joe Burrow, he figured it out. Matter of fact, he took his team to a Super Bowl. Like, in the offensive line, tell me when the offensive line has been good when Joe Burrow's been back there as a quarterback. Right. So for me, it's like, if you are, and I think he can be really, really, really good, he has to go out there and make these certain throws. There was 4 throws, 3 of them for sure. But 4 throws I thought he missed in Sunday's game that could have helped gain some momentum or make some big plays down the field, right? Your big players have to make big plays consistently. Your big players, your best players have to be the best players each and every week to give you a chance to win. Every week the defense is showing out. They're giving you a shot. Now it's on you to convert. And honestly, whether you like it or not, and Clint knows this, it's on the quarterback. Flat out. It's on the quarterback. Figure it out. What do you have to do? Now, there's going to be some growing pains with the new offensive coordinator. I'm not overlooking that at all. But at the same time, I'm going to, because before, me personally, I was like, oh, let's be patient. You know, CJ's coming along. No. This is year three. I can't make no more excuses for him. He has to show up and show out week in and week out. And I personally think he's holding the ball a tad bit too long. He's still not looking through. It's not going through his progression fast enough. There's just certain things I see that makes me feel like he's still thinking through, but he got to get over that. He got to get going. This is the NFL, buddy. This is big boy business. I'm not holding down no more. I need to see it.
Cecil Shorts III joining us, former Houston Texan. I'm curious to you because where I see it is, I agree with everything you're saying, but I see – there's little things like last week. Like this past game, I cannot believe that nobody in the room, when I say in the room, I'm talking CJ, coaches, everybody, Dalton Schultz, everybody didn't say, hey, man, we need to chip left tackle situation and help this young fella out. Like, I'm even at a point with those types of things where if CJ Stroud's going to be a $60 million a year guy, like things like that, We can't wait for the play caller to always make those kind of plays. Am I crazy to think that in the huddle, even if it like your experience in the huddle, let's say it's some kind of route switch up real quick that you and the quarterback said in the huddle, or a chip, or executing a protection a certain way. I mean, my experience is that stuff happens pretty often. Am I crazy? Okay, that's where I was. I didn't know if I was crazy or if I was making something up there.
It happens all the time. And even Ursary first of all, him having those 101s with Hines Allen and Walker and Armstead when they moved him around, it's too many. Like, he's a rookie. I think he could be darn good. I do. But have help with him. But everybody should be communicating. It should start with CJ. Hey, what's going on, Ursary? You need some help? All right, bet. Hey, Nick, let's get a back to chip. Let's get, you know, Schultz to help or whoever the case may be. Get the ball out quicker. Maybe throw a screen his way. Something has to happen. But there was no adjustment. And I was confused like you, Clint. Like, how many times are you going to let this man, he's a rookie, go one-on-one with this $100 million pass rusher? Like, how many times are you really setting him up for success? Matter of fact, he left with a dang on black eye. like help the young man out. Like, don't kill his confidence. Yes, welcome to the NFL, absolutely. But help the young man out with chips, with game plan, with game plan blocking assignments towards that rookie to help him.
Cecil, one of the things to me, and there's a lot of things that happen offensively in that game, but one thing that was disappointing to me, and you, I think you better than anybody can speak to this with your role in the NFL, I thought Christian Kirk would be more of a have more of an impact on this offense than he did, and there really wasn't a change. I mean, Nico got going in the best we've seen him this year, but I was surprised Christian Kirk didn't play a bigger role.
You know what? It's not as many. So coming into the year, I thought they would use Christian a lot of option routes, a lot of choice routes, a lot of opportunities for him to see the defense, make the best choice. He's super quick. He's fast. They didn't use him that last week. So I'm being patient. And I'm interested to see how they use him against Tennessee this week. But I'm with you. I thought they would give him a little bit more. Maybe give him a couple screens. Maybe give him a couple 10-yard outs. Just really easy stuff to get him going, get his confidence back, kind of ease him back into, especially playing against his former team, kind of ease him back into some chemistry with CJ. But I did like what I saw from Nico. Nico had 11 targets, 8 catches. He's coming along. I still just think you have to have more than it's just Nico. Like, Christian got to step up in a way, or not even step up. He needs to be able to get targets. He needs to be able to go down the field. He's really good at over routes. He's really good at seam routes. He's really good at getting a guy going downfield quickly and then stopping abruptly, right? Choice routes, screens, find ways to get him the ball. And then your rookies. Like, I don't know if you don't like Higgins, if Higgins is not working well. If Hutch is the guy, great. But we got to find more guys to make plays down the field.
Yeah, you knew, man. They had Watson out there, man. You knew they were screaming to us how they felt about Higgins at that point. They had Justin Watson out there, and his snaps didn't change when he got hurt. So interesting, man. All right, man. Hopefully this thing gets better, and we talk to you next week, and we're talking about a win and a much improved offensive effort from the Texans as they play one of the worst teams in football. Cecil, man, we appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, man. Take care.
All right, that's Cecil Shorts the Third coming up. We'll hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans. You don't want to miss it. You'll get to hear it right here, Sports Radio 610 on The Drive, as he speaks for the first time since they released C.J. Gardner-Johnson. DeMeco Ryans next.